To see your pastor freak out, that would be the way right there. He would go crazy. But I am certainly thankful for a church that prayed for me. I got to see my father this past week. He wasn't doing real well, his heart. And I was preaching a couple years back, and I asked the old preacher what he regretted most about his ministry. And he said this. He said, I regret the most was not spending time with my dad as he was alive. And so I made an extra special time with my father. I spent 4 days with him. 13 hours a day, and let me tell you, I am mentally fatigued from my father. He is, he's one of a kind, and I hope he gets to come down here. They're going to plan on hopefully coming down in December, but I'm thankful for the church of letting me go and spending time with him. I am very much encouraged. When I left, I was not. They told me he was running about 15% of his heart, and he just was struggling. And I talked to my brother, and he said he has to count to 13 in order to take his next breath. And at that point, I thought I need to go see him. And he's got pacemakers, defibrillators. He's got all kinds of stuff inside. He thinks, since he was in Vietnam, that they put a tracker inside of his pacemaker so they could track every move that he makes. Well, you guys laugh. I do, too. But he's serious. He thinks he's being tracked by the government. But it's okay. We had a great time of fellowship. I love my father. My father changed the generation of the Trangmar family. He had three brothers. He was the only one that got saved, the only one that put us in church, the only one that raised us in a good, godly home. And so I give my father all the credit in the world. What a great guy that decided to raise his family and nurture an admonition of the Lord. So I never want to take our earthly father for granted. Our heavenly father has given us good role models, and I thank the Lord for my father. So thank you for praying with me and for me, and we had a great time together. Matthew chapter number 8, I want to be an encouragement to you. I just got four little points tonight and the four F's of faith. Pastor Wiggins preached an excellent message this morning talking about faith. And when he went to Hebrews chapter number 11, I thought that was a fantastic way to springboard my message tonight, not trying to re-preach what he did, but having faith in our lives. And it's such a hard word to enact on. And especially being young, especially being vibrant, especially being some of the older ones, it's really difficult to say, hey, I've got faith. The Bible says, who can find a faithful man? I used that several times when I preached on Wednesday in South Carolina about I had a father that was faithful. And so when I was preaching, I could raise my hand. Hey, I found one that was faithful. Thank the Lord that we have those kind of men. And so we're going to preach a little bit on faith tonight, let you guys get out of here in about 28 minutes. Is that okay? If you listen well, I'll talk fast. I know a lot of you always come up to me after I get done preaching and saying you wish that you could I could slow down. Well, it's impossible. The last person I said they have to watch the internet and put it on slow-mo. But it's okay. Matthew chapter number 8. And let me set the scene for you. Jesus just got finished with preaching the Sermon on the Mount. If you go all the way back to Matthew chapter number 5, he's preaching. And if your Bible is like my Bible, has the words red in it. He just got done preaching, probably tired. But he's on his way to Capernaum. And as he's going to Capernaum, a leper man leaves where he was supposed to go to come and visit with Jesus. And Jesus heals him. Knowing that the leper was not even supposed to be in the area that he was in, they're supposed to have their own little city, their own place, and be far from them. Jesus healed that leper. So then he comes in verse number 5 in Matthew chapter number 8. And it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him." Now, let me give you a little background. I used this a little bit in my Sunday school class a few weeks ago. A centurion was a military man. Yeah, he was a man that was in charge of over 100 people and had been in the military for 20 years. So this man had some clout. This man had some badges. This man had some respect. And he had the respect of the people around him. As he saw that Jesus healed that leper, he came to Jesus behind him, beseeching him, looking for him. So my question to you is, how often do you look for the Lord? How often do you go out of your way looking for the Lord? Sometimes I feel in my life, and I felt this probably not a couple months ago, sitting in the hospital with a blood clot, that sometimes I feel that God is a million miles away from me. Now, I understand that a lot of us would never say that out loud. But have you ever been to a point in your life where you thought God is nowhere to be seen? Maybe you've been in a situation where you've been sinning and doing something wrong, and you feel that God is so far away from you because there's no way. The fact of the matter is, we all know as we grew up that the God is our Father, our Lord and Savior, is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He cannot leave you. The Bible says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Once you've had the Holy Spirit in your life, He's in there. But sometimes you feel, man, I just feel a million miles away from God. This Capernaum, this centurion was walking to Capernaum and said, I've got to find Jesus, and I'm going to go and beseech him. Look at verse number 6. and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Now that a palsy is it's a disease. It makes your body do things that you can't control, gyrations. And this centurion said, I've got somebody else that I need you to come see. Now, I like it when he first walked up to Jesus at Capernaum, he said the word Lord. So that right away tells me, I've read this passage many times, and I didn't really know if this guy was saved or not saved. When he comes to him and says, Lord, that means this is Lord. Listen, there's got to be times in your life where you have enough faith to go to him for somebody else. To pray and ask the Lord for somebody else. I think so many times we get selfish in our prayer life that all we talk about is me and mine and what I got to do and my small world. Listen, when you start focusing on others, it helps you a lot more. It helps you forget about the things that's going on in your life. You ever look at a person and say, I'm so glad I'm not in their position? Hey, he said, I got a servant that's sick of a palsy. Look what happens, verse number 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Bam! Just that easy. He asked the Lord to do something, and guess what the Lord did? He did it. That shouldn't be shocking to us Baptists. That shouldn't say, oh, I can't believe it. How many times do you ever pray for something that takes a really long time for God to make that come through fruition? You're like, Lord, please. I've asked you this 9 times already, but if you could hurry up and give me an answer, that'd be great. And I'm going to pray for patience as you are thinking about whether or not to answer my prayer or not. Do you think he wants to answer your prayer? Yes, he does. But it's about our faith. And he said, Lord, I got a man, I got a servant. I'm well known in this area. I'm well known in this society. I've been doing what I've been doing. I've jumped over walls. I've been in battles. But I've got somebody else that I need you to heal. And the Lord says, no problem. Done. He's healed. Woo, that's wonderful. I think a lot of times in our lives we pray about stuff, but then we forget about thanking God for answering that prayer. The last night that I was with my father, and this has all come from visiting with my dad. And I did lie to my Sunday school class this morning. I told you I was going to preach out of the Bible that my dad gave me the past week, and I'm not preaching out of that Bible. I meant to, but I'm not. So don't ask me about that later, because I didn't intentionally lie to you. I just felt that that my notes were in this one. It would be easier for me. Anyways, that's a little sidebar. You guys will be all right. As a preacher, you want to make sure that you're clean as you're preaching. And when you lie to somebody, it's just not really good to come up here. Okay. And so I sat down with my dad, and we pray. I've been praying all week. On the plane, I was praying that it wouldn't crash, and then praying for my family. Now listen, my mother, Sharon told me I have to be real. My mother owns a daycare. She has run a daycare in her house for 30 years, 30 plus years, in the same house that I grew up in. Dad, they have a big backyard in the back. And if you Google, map Google it, it's 103 Brook Forest Drive. I'm teaching my Sunday school class to be creepers. If you want to do that, go ahead and, no problem. Anyway, so my dad falls out in the backyard watering the plants. My mother leaves him there on purpose. My sister, Tracy, told me, I saw my mom look at him, and she did not go help him. Yeah, that's scary right there. And so I sat down with my dad, and we prayed together. We prayed together all week over lunch. Man, I tell you, I probably gained 10 pounds. It's the best food. South Carolina's got the best food. They make this macaroni focus. See, if you guys wouldn't laugh at it, it would not encourage me, just so you know. The laughing and the encouraging makes me go on these sidebars. Anyway, so we ate hamburger steak with gravy and then a side of gravy, and then we drank gravy with a straw. It was amazing. Arnold has the best, with a little onion and mushroom. Okay, you guys hungry? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so we prayed many times. But at the very end, when I was there on Thursday, I sat my mom and dad, just me, my mom and dad, and we had a time of prayer. And during that whole time of prayer, the night before, I was asking, Lord, help me to be strong as we have this time of prayer with my mother and father. If it be the last time that I get to see my earthly father, I want it to be a good, special time together of praying and the Bible reading and things like that. And I want to make sure that I'm focusing on being thankful for what you have given me in my life through my mother and father. And so the entire prayer, and listen, I know you guys think I'm like really spiritual. Thank you for that one little laugh. I said, we're going to pray for about 10 minutes. That's a long time. Some of you dating, you college guys, I'd love to pray with my girl for 10 minutes, whatever. So I said, we're going to pray. And all I'm going to do is just say thank you. Every sentence that I start, I want to say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for letting my parents do this for me. Thank you, Lord, for this. And it was absolutely one of the best prayer times I ever had in my life. Because I prayed so much for my father, to him to do something with my dad, and he did. I mean, he was in great shape. We had a great time together. I was so very encouraged with him. But I wanted to make sure I thanked him for what he did for my dad. And that's what's happening here. He healed a servant. And he said, hey, Lord, I want to tell you something. Look what happens in verse number 7. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. This man who was a leader in Jerusalem and had everybody that had respect for him said, you're not even worthy to come underneath my roof. Look what happens in verse number 8. That thou shouldest come, but spake the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, this do, and he doeth it. How in the world can I expect Jesus to come into my house under my roof when I have all this authority and all these people that do what I tell them to do? They'll go where I tell them to go, and they have no questions asked whatsoever. They do what I'm told, what they're told to do, and when I tell them. And he says, I don't even know how you can even come to my house. Who am I that you should come to my house? Look what happens in verse number 10. And Jesus heard it, and he what? Say that word out loud. Help me out, because I only got just a few more minutes. He marveled. Now, let me tell you something in the Bible. You look up that word at Jesus when you put them together. Jesus marveled. There's not many times that you're going to find in the 3.5 years that Jesus ministered on this earth that he marveled at something. Now, you may look at your children and marvel and say, how can they act like their father? No, just kidding. You what? That was funny. Okay. How can they? I marveled on how I can't tell you how many times that when my dad and I were together, that they said, man, you guys look just like each other. You guys act just like each other. And let me tell you something, Ms. Tramar, y'all love her, and I understand that, and that's great. I'm glad that you do, because she needs a lot of love. When she says that I act like my father, I don't always take that in the positive tone. Because the fact of the matter is, it's never positive when she says that. You're acting like your dad. I find myself acting like my father. And it scares me. No, not the bad things. The good things. We went down to the church that I grew up in. And my inheritance when my dad dies is a 1979 Chevrolet El Camino. You guys know what those are? That was Spanish. Hope I didn't lose any of you. And March the 10th, 1985, on a Tuesday night, I got in the floorboard of that El Camino, and I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. That's my inheritance. That thing's been through. It's been through. Dad sold it 3 or 4 times. It's been through a tornado. It was taken up out of the ground and into the air and put into a tree. The frame has been bent. That's my inheritance. We're not real rich, okay? But I was saved in that 1979 El Camino. He was a super sport. It had pipes on the side. It's awesome. And so when I got there off the plane, Dad said, I got something for you. I'm thinking, oh, yes, Dad's going to give me a gift. He walks me to the 1979 El Camino, and I'm thinking, man, I was saved in that thing. He said, get in. And he's walking real slow. My dad takes real small steps, and he breathes real hard. I'm thinking, okay, well, we got in. Anyways, I got in. I could barely get in. My head's hitting the top, and I told myself I'm going to take a picture of myself in the floorboard just to show the kids at the school that's where I was saved. I couldn't get in the floorboard. I probably could have gotten out, but never get out. I would never be able to get out. But I sat down there, and Dad said, well, this thing hasn't started in 3 months. 90 days. I'm thinking, okay, that's great. It's hot. I'm sweating. Just got off the plane. I'd really like to eat. And so he sticks it in. Well, I would say he sticks the key in. There is no key. You ever seen a car that starts with no key? Yeah, this has no key. I said, Dad, you got to get the key. I'm thinking my dad's losing it. You know, he's dying of a heart attack. And when you think that, you think everybody's, you know, lost their mind. I'm, Dad, you need a key to get in there. Do I have to walk back in the house? And I'm real lazy. And he said, oh, don't need no key, son. Finally, it started up. I'm thinking, man, it's got a 424 under the hood. It's got a four-speed, what's that? What was it called? What is it? Manual, but it's a hearse. That's it, that kind of transmission. Four-speed, you got reverse up and to the left. And so he pulls out of that thing, and we're driving down the road. And we're spinning out, and I'm thinking, we're going to die. I thought my dad's going to die. I'm going to die in this car. So we pull into the church parking lot, and he says, son, I want you to drive your inheritance. I'm like, oh, great, Dad, that's wonderful. I got a blood clot here in this leg, you know, and that's the one for the clutch of the hoss or whatever it's called. What's it called, boss? And so I get in this thing, and he says, put it in reverse, son. So I shove it up there in first gear, and it stalls out. It's hard to drive. Don't judge. It's hard to drive. And he says, no, son, you got to push up and then go up and take a Z up to the left. All right, no problem, Dad. I have automatic. I have two minivans, okay? So don't judge me that I can't drive a hoss or a boss or whatever it's called. And so I put it up in there and it stalls out again. He said, you're getting a D-. Now, I don't like to get graded by my father. You know, I want to be an A-plus student. That's what I want to be. Finally, I get this thing. And I finally get the one and the two. And the three, it slips out. You got to hold it in third. But I'm going to tell you that second gear. Son, I'm not a race car driver. You may not think that. But my dad, before he was saved, was a race car driver. I put that thing in second gear. Let me tell you, I was gone. Those tires started barking. I started getting a little bit of that. When you're a preacher, you get those goosebumps in the back of your spine when you finally get to a point that you really, I felt that in the car. I thought, oh yeah, I felt empowered. My minivan doesn't do this. If I tried to do that with my minivan, the tranny, especially the brown one that I have, it's got real, you got to start off real slow before you, especially if you go up a hill, if not, Brother Davis knows that thing's got a problem. Anyway, so I put that thing in second gear and I'm going down the road. Thinking, daggum, if I got saved in here, I'm going to go to eternity in this one too. And so I called Sharon before I left. I said, honey, I got in the car. Hey, that was my inheritance. And my dad said, I want you to spend time in here, and I want you to do it. So we went to the church that we were at. And my dad walked in that place. He hadn't been in that church in a good 15 years. They switched churches since then, but it's where we grew up. It's a Christian school that we grew up in. And he walked in that place, and he handed that man a $100 bill. And I saw my father give to a person that did him wrong. Now, the preacher did him wrong. But he gave to that person. And on the way back, he mentioned to me a story about forgiveness, and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. My mom betrayed my dad in a way. Anyways, my dad was very upset. And we were, dad was a deacon in church, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, in that office that we were in that day on Wednesday, he said, son, I got to tell you a story. He said, well, that man was in here that I needed to forgive. And he said, I really wanted to take his life. I said, oh, okay. That's great, Dad. Thanks. That's all I need is a murderous father. That's wonderful. That's just great. We're going to be on 2020 or Dateline. I know you guys watch those. he said, I want to take his life. He said, but instead we left that place. I told him to get into my truck. I'm thinking, the guy's gone. Get into the El Camino. They go down to Fred's. Now, Fred's is kind of a subpar Walmart down in where we're from. It's Belton down there in Greenville, South Carolina. A bunch of hicks. Brother Wiggins knows about those small towns. And so we go. He said, I took him down to Fred's. He said, I got him out of the car. We walked into that place together. He said, I found a pair of shoes, the most expensive pair of shoes that they had in this Fred's. I mean, it must have been fancy, kind of like a Dillard's. That was a joke. Okay. And he says, I go to the $99.99 pair of shoes. He said, I bought those shoes. He said, I sat that man down on that chair. I took off his old shoes. He said, I took these new shoes on. I put them on his feet for him. He said, I tied them real tight. I said, you tied him real tight? This is a great story. I never heard it before in my whole life. He said, I tied him real tight. He said, I paid for the shoes. We walked out the door. And he said, now I want you to take these shoes that I bought you. He said, I want you to walk on down the road and don't come back. He said, but I forgive you. And he gave him the right hand of fellowship and hugged him. And I thought, oh, wow. Put on these shoes. I'm going to put these shoes on. You go on down the road and don't come back. I thought, oh, that's great. That's my dad. And I thought, that is a picture of forgiveness that I've never seen in my life. I'm going to tell you, for me, if it was me and something happened like that with my wife, I don't think I would be as kind. But the Bible says in James that you are to forgive your brother. He said, son, he said, I had to forgive him. He'd done the worst thing he could ever do to me and my family, but I had to forgive him or I'm going to walk in darkness. What have I decided to do? He said, I bought some shoes and sent them on down the road. And I'm thinking, wow, couldn't you got a pair of shoes at the thrift store? That's my dad. I'm thinking, wow, good night, Dad. But he forgave him. And he said, hey, listen, I can't walk in darkness for the rest of my life. I thought, wow, Dad, that's an awesome story. And so I thought about that as we were praying that night. I said, thank you that you've given me a father that knows how to forgive. There are so many people in life that you are around and that you're with that haven't forgiven. Listen, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. You got to learn to forgive. And I'm glad that I had a dad that was able to do that, to show that to me. I thought, man, my dad, that's awesome. And I thought I'd share that story with it. It wasn't even in my notes, but it's okay. Verse number 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, I don't want you to miss this part. This is the best part about the sermon. He said unto him, I have not found such great faith. He just met this centurion army man. And he said, not in Israel have I seen one that has as great a faith as you. And I thought, what? Wait a minute. Wait. Lord, those words are in red. Are your words in red? Wait a minute, Lord. Let me just stop you right there just for a second. Do you remember a man named John the Baptist? One that was the forerunner before you? One that was supposed to tell everyone of your coming? Man, he was pretty faithful, wasn't he? I have not found a man as faithful as this man in all of it. Well, wait a minute. What about these 11 disciples that are with you, that are following you around? They've got great faith, don't they? Yes, they do. Yes, they got faith, but I haven't found one. I marveled at the faith of this man, this common man. I marveled at his faith, not the faith of the disciples. Wait a minute, Jesus, let me get this straight one more time. My dad used to do this. This is bad. How about your earthly father, Joseph? Maybe you forgot about him. Maybe you forgot about your earthly father that put you that took Mary into Bethlehem and you had him. Maybe you forgot about him. Oh, wait a minute. What you're telling me that this man has better faith than your own earthly father? Wait, how about Mary, your mother, who sat up there and this angel came and told her that she was going to be with child and it was going to be the seed and it was going to be the Savior of the world? You mean to tell me that in all of Jerusalem that this man has more faith than even your mother? Now, I don't know what that does for you, but that does for me. I think, guess what? I can be that man. I don't have to be the father of Jesus to have great faith. I don't have to be a disciple to have great faith. I don't have to be John the Baptist to have great faith. I don't even have to be Jesus' mother to have great faith. I can be a common man and I can still have great faith. I can have great faith that is enough for them to marvel at me. Let me tell you something. I'm so glad the Bible is full of encouraging things to us, but there's nothing more encouraging to me than that. The Bible says that this man, this common man, had more faith than all of Israel. I think that's amazing. Hey, you and I, we got a chance. We think that Bible characters are superheroes and we get all these movies with superheroes and all these things that goes on. They were regular men and women just like you and I. But I'm telling you what encourages me as an earthly man is, hey, listen, I can have some faith just like the centurion man, and the Lord can look at me and say, that man has great faith. It's just not subject to the pastor. It's just not subject to Brother Wiggins. It's just not subject to my father, who's been a faithful man for years. You can be this man. You may not be able to be a disciple of the mother of Jesus, but you sure can have faith, and you can let the Lord know that, hey, Lord, I've got some faith, and I can do this. I'm sitting in the car trying to put this thing in reverse, and I can't quite pick the thing up and take it over and put it up. I'm thinking, Dad, I can't do it. My blood clot's hurting because you got to push the faucet or the boss or whatever it's called in really deep. I mean, you have to hold it in there. And I'm trying, and my blood clot's throbbing. It's a little funny. Okay, whatever. And I'm thinking, I can't do it. I really can't hold it in that long to get it and then let it out because it's real touchy. I mean, you guys think, oh, Brother Scott, you're such a whip. It's hard. You know, don't look at me, Brother Jan. Chance is looking at me like, oh, I can do it. I'm a manly man. It was hard. I couldn't quite get the middle part where. Anyways, that kind of hurt. I think I pulled my blood clot. And so, you guys don't think I just. But he had faith in me that I could do it. He kept me in the car long enough for me to perform what he knew I could do. God's keeping you, listen here, old people, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. God is keeping you here on this earth so you can do what He knows that you can do. You may not have the energy to have, I counted, there were 42 of these first and second ones. I'd have pulled my hair out, all the rest of the hair, there's no way. They had to add the pews for these first and second. There's no way I could be up in that class. My attention span's about, Miss Kendrick called off of work last year, and I had to teach the K-4 back when they had the quads. Honestly, if she would have came back the next day and asked me for $1,000 a day, I would have gave it to her. I would have, because it was awful. I wanted to go to the top of the building and jump off. During the middle of the day, I think it was like 8:45. I couldn't handle it. Listen, I can't handle that group. But listen, God has a certain place for you to stay faithful at. I know I'm talking to the core of the church. I'm talking to the older ones of the church and some of you college kids that haven't found a mate yet. I'm not going to go there. You want me to go there, but I'm not. Well, she's got a pretty... she just retains water. So does the Hoover Dam, okay? No, just kidding. But God has you here to fulfill what He knows that you can do. But you got to put that faith in action. Here it is. Brother Wiggins always said you can't have a... He's a pulpiteer. He knows how to preach. Here's the four things. Number one, you got to have faith so you can't fret. Fret not. It's four F's. It's very easy. Fret not. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 27, 1 through 5, that you need to fret not. And I'm not going to turn there. I want you to go there if you can. Write that down. Psalm chapter 37, verse numbers 1 through 5. Fret not. Number two, a little A underneath that. Live one day at a time by faith. I mean, that sounds really simple. Listen, we can't predict the future. We don't know what's going on. But we can live every day being faithful. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to be faithful today. Show me for sure, make it very clear to me how I can be faithful. Live every day. Every day. Number two, lift someone else's burdens before the Lord faithfully every day. Stop praying about yourself so much and pray about somebody else. It will really help you. Number three underneath that is love at all costs and never stop. That's why we're here. We preached a couple weeks ago and told you that's the reason why we're here, is to feed a sheep, to love his people. That's what we're supposed to do. Love them. live every day. Lift up someone. Love someone. Number two, fret not. Number two, fear not. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. Fear not. Number three, faint not. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. I promise you, if you're all King James Bible, you look them up. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And fourthly, forget not. Fret not, faint not. Forget not and fear not. Those will help you, the four F's of faith. Listen, as this man was coming through, and we're going to wrap it up in this last little verse. As he's coming through, he said, there's no such faith found in this man. Look what happens in the very, very last verse. Verse number 12. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out of utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Listen to me. Faith needs to be reproduced. I love my dad, and I'm glad that he instilled in me a seed of faith. Not that I'm the most faithful person or that I can be called a faithful man. I just know for me, I have a dad that was faithful. And he's telling him, the centurion, he said, the reason why your servant was healed, it was not because he had faith, but because you had faith. And you had faith from the very, very, very beginning. Listen, just because you've been serving the Lord, you've been honest to God for all these years, doesn't mean you can stop being faithful. The last time that I was with my dad, they don't go to church. They went to church for many years. And it breaks my heart they don't go to church. And he says, well, I go to church every Sunday morning with your mother. I said, well, where do you go to church? He said, well, I go to 103 Brook Forest Drive. That's their house. And I said, Daddy, I said, where do you tithe? And he said, well, I got a shoebox underneath my bed. I said, well, I'll be visiting that before I leave. I did kind of peek underneath there, and there's a shoebox. But anyway, I said, Dad, that you know that that's not right. You know, you're looking at your faithful dad. You know, we're sick, and we blah, 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 excuse after excuse. And I said, Dad, I want to be honest with you and Mom. My children need to know that Mom and Dad are staying faithful in church just like they were when we were growing up. And so I prayed with my mom and dad on that fact. Listen, just because you're older doesn't mean you give up faith. You've got people that are depending on you to stay faithful. You've got people that are looking at you and staying faithful. How horrible would it be for your grandkids, Reeds and Day Clan, that Grandma and Grandpa Reed decided they weren't going to go to church anymore. It was finished. Do you imagine all the questions those grandbabies would have about why is Grandma and Grandpa not going to church and being faithful? Listen, we have to be faithful where we're at. Continuing to be faithful. The man was healed because of one man's faith, a common man's faith. Let me tell you something, folks. We can do great things for God at Heritage Baptist Church because we're common people that have faith in the Lord. Not all of us are pastors of here. Not all of us can be the preacher, but we sure can have faith. We sure can ask the Lord to give us faith every day and to keep us and remain us faithful. If I could challenge you tonight, fret not, forget not, fear not, and whatsoever we do all to the glory of God, and stay faithful where you're at. Because, boy, that's the biggest testimony that you could ever have. Let's all stand together. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, as we think about being faithful, Father, I pray that I was an encouragement, Lord, to them tonight in the short time that we had together. Father, I pray that you'd increase our faith. Lord, I know that we have Vacation Bible School going on, and we had a lot of things going that's going to be done tonight. But, Lord, may we just focus for the next 3 or 4 minutes. Lord, I'm making sure that we are staying faithful to you. Every day, getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, I want to be faithful. Help me to stay faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you use common folks just like me, just like these folks that are sitting here tonight, Lord, to have that example of being faithful. Father, we don't have to be a disciple. Lord, we don't have to be the preacher. But, Lord, we can be who we are, who you made us to be, but someone that is faithful every single day of our lives. Lord, we love you tonight. As the instruments begin, if you need to come to the altar,